chapter 13.
We're going to be turning then over to the book of Mark, chapter 10. Reading one verse there. Hosea chapter 13. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died, or he was exalted in Israel, when he spake trembling. But when he offended in Baal, or worshipped Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore, they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. In the book of Mark, chapter 10, just one verse there, verse 47. I'm not going to read the whole story, just this one verse. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Will you pray with us and ask God to help us this morning? Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, we ask for the anointing of your Spirit, for the power of God to be able to come down upon us this morning, that I might be anointed in the Holy Ghost to be a spokesman for God. Lord, that you would reach out to every heart and every life and every individual that's here this morning, that you would work in their lives and their hearts and give them victory in their souls, that you would move in a special way this morning, Lord, and help every one of us to draw close to God. Help every one of us to reach out to the Lord this morning and receive something from you, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning just on this simple little thought, just this simple little text, just one word. I want to preach on help. Help. Amen. Now, the word help can be used in a lot of ways. We could say, if I had a situation and need something, I could say, Foster, will you help me? Amen. That's one way of using the word help. And it just simply means that I need his assistance. I want him to assist me. And then, that would be considered a question. You know, if I wrote that out, say, Foster, will you help me? There would be a question mark after that. Amen? And then there's another way of using the word help, and that's if I was drowning. Amen? And I came up from water in my lungs, and I was going down the second time. Amen. I would say, help! And if that was written down, there would be an exclamation mark there. Amen. Because of the intensity of it. Amen. I would probably never raise my voice at Foster to ask him to help me. I wouldn't say, Foster, will you help me? Unless he was harder hearing than he is. Amen. I wouldn't do that. But Brother Lord, if I was drowning, you could hear me better from a mile away. And I holler, help! And this morning, that's the kind of a help that I'm talking about this morning. Help that's so important that if we don't get help, we might die. Amen. That's the kind of help I'm talking about this morning. It's the kind of help that can only come from God Almighty. Amen. Help. I want us to look just a little bit this morning at this scripture, this setting of this text that I read to you this morning. Not the one in Mark, but the one in Hosea. And the writer started out by saying, when Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, or he was exalted in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. This describes the humbleness of this man. Amen. This describes his dependence upon God and his humility. Amen. He spake trembling. He feared God. He had the fear of God in his heart. He was not bold with God or brazen with God, but he humbled himself under the hand of God and he feared God. A spirit of humility, of fear and trembling before the Lord. We're living in a bold hour when men are bold to sin. They do things and then they wipe their mouth and they say, I've done no wrong. That's what the scripture says. Amen. Amen. We're living in an hour when sin is on the rampant. And it's moved into the church of the living God. And if we're not careful, it'll move into our lives and our hearts, amen, and lodge in our own souls. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll wipe our mouth and say, I haven't done anything wrong. Amen. You know the problem in this hour, why that we're having trouble having revival and having victory and having the power of God is because there's too many of us, amen, that's sweeping the dirt under the rug rather than sweeping it out the door. Amen. We will not acknowledge. We have become self-satisfied and God. That was this man's problem. Amen. He got to the place that he didn't feel his need of God anymore. He got to the place, amen, that he didn't fear and tremble before the Lord anymore. And he got to the place then that he was led off to worship idols. Amen. Idolatry is always a result of a lack of fear and respect for God. Amen. Now, preach for a little while about idolatry. How many knows what idolatry is? It's not what you think it is. Amen. Brother Leon, what's idolatry? Right. That's idolatry. Amen. You know, most folks think idolatry is worshiping an idol. You know, for it to be idolatry, you got to have a little idol sitting up here. You know, something sitting up here that you worship. No, that's only the results of idolatry. Before there's ever a little idol or engraving of any kind. That's the very root of idolatry. That's where it begins. Covetousness. Anyway, let me read you scripture now to back that up. I don't want you just to think that's my thinking. Let me read you a scripture to back that up in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. In Colossians 3 and 5, we read these words. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness is the very beginning of idolatry. This man, amen, this writing and this text and this setting of Scripture describes a man going into idolatry. And covetousness is the very root of idolatry. And now they sin more and more. That's the progress. That's the downward plunge. Amen. Once idolatry sets in our hearts, once we lose the fear of God out of our hearts, amen, once we get to the place that we can do things that we know is against our own conscience, amen, and against our own thinking and against the Word of God, amen, the plunge from there is downward. They sin more and more. No alcoholic ever starts out being an alcoholic. Amen. No adulterer ever starts out, amen, in adultery, just verbatim. They begin there somewhere in their mind thinking. They gradually get there. Amen. Any sin that is gross sin that you can think of this morning, you don't get there, amen, just by accident. You get there because you started out somewhere with something small and something little, amen, and you went from sin to sin, and you digressed and went downward unto the place that you found yourself in bondage, and your heart sad, and your soul in turmoil, amen. Instead of peace, you had trouble. Instead of joy, amen, you had sadness. Amen. All because somewhere you started out with sin in some little measure, and it led you downhill. This man had that problem. This scripture shows us that and describes that to us this morning. Amen. Covetousness, which is idolatry. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, listen to what Jesus said. And he, or Jesus, said unto them, take heed. When Jesus said take heed, you better pay attention to what he's talking about, because this is something usually that is a great stumbling block to the human nature. Amen. It's usually something that will affect every one of us, something that you have to guard against. Amen. When he said, take heed, beware of covetousness. Beware of it. Treat it like a snake. Amen. Treat it like something that's your enemy, because it is. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Hey, we're living in a materialistic world, every one of us. Amen. We're living in a materialistic world. Amen. And all of us, every one of us here, no exceptions, including the preacher, every one of us here, amen, have the flesh to contend with. Amen. And everything around us today is geared to covetousness. Covetousness, you've heard me say it before, but I'll say it again. Covetousness is your great sin by which that the media uses in advertisement. Amen. That's why they use pictures so well. That's why advertisement with pictures is greater advertisement, because it relates, we relate to it more, amen, and it's able to get a hold to it of us more, amen, and cause us to desire. Amen. Now, just because you've got something doesn't mean that you got it because you're covetous.
I don't mean that. Ain't got nothing to do with it. And it's all right to have things if God gave them to you, and you didn't leave God out of it, reaching for it. Amen. Because you're blessed doesn't mean that you got it because you're covetous. Because you've got something doesn't mean that you got it because you're covetous. Amen. I don't mean that, and I don't want to leave that impression with you in preaching this morning. But there is a spirit of covetousness in this hour that if we're not careful, because we want and desire, amen, we'll get entangled and ensnared, amen, and miss God's best for our lives. We'll get all wrapped up. We'll get so wrapped up, amen, that the devil's got our nose to the grinding wheel. We ain't got time to pray. We ain't got time to seek God. We ain't got time to be faithful to church. We ain't got time to do witnessing. We ain't got time to do visitation. We ain't got time to go to the hospital, go to the nursing home, amen, go to the jailhouse where people are in need. We ain't got time for them. We just got to work, 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 work. And when we do get a little time, we're so tired, 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 tired. We just got to sleep, 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 rest, rest, even in church. Come to church to rest. Well, it's all right to come to church to rest. You rest in the Lord. Amen. Amen. But it ain't all right to come to church to rest if you rest in the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to get some clothespins so folks can put it on their nose so they won't snore while they're resting in the house of God. That'd be all right. Amen. Oh, glory. I'm preaching on covetousness this morning. It'll lead you into a place that you'll be ensnared if you're not careful. You'll be robbed of the blessings of God. Amen. You'll lose your fellowship and closeness of God. And you'll be testifying and saying, I don't know why I can't feel God no more. I don't know why it seems like I just can't hardly pray. I don't know why it seems like the services are just so dry. I don't know why it seems like we just ain't got no victory. We'll get up and testify and say, God, just don't do it like you used to. Oh, and we'll get up and say, oh, they used to have such great services. And they used to have such great power. What's wrong with right now? Amen. We still have great power. Amen. If we'd get off our high horse, amen, and lay some things aside and begin to pray and fast and seek God, I believe I got as much victory and maybe more than I believe I've got as much of God or maybe more than I've ever had. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And we can have it today, not yesterday. My glory. I've got to hurry up now. I've got to hurry up. Beware of covetousness. Beware of it. Beware of it. Amen. If I told you that I saw a big old copperhead in your flower garden, and you need to beware of it, what would you do every time you went out to the flower garden? Huh? Would you just fall down on your hands and knees and begin to run your hands around in them flowers and pull out weeds and, huh? No, you wouldn't. Amen. You'd stand way back and you'd take your whole handle and you'd look in there. You'd stomp on the ground and you'd beat around. If he's in there, I'm going to run him out before I get in there. And when you were sure that that copperhead wasn't there no more, then you might get down and work in your flowers. Amen. That's what Jesus meant when he said, beware. He meant for you to be alert. He meant for you to watch. He meant for you to recognize, amen, the danger of this viper called covetousness. Amen. To be aware of what it can do to you. Amen. And what it will accomplish in your life spiritually. That's why he said beware of it. Thank God, because he realized, he knew, and he knows what's in man. And there is a spirit in man that will fall to covetousness if he's not very careful. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3,
I can find it here. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Now, I want you to know, this surprised me, but did you know just nearly everywhere I found covetousness, I found it listed with adulterers and fornicators and people of wicked sins? And we can allow the spirit of covetousness to be in our hearts and lives. Amen? And come to church and shout and not feel there's anything wrong. Of course, there's adulterers that do that too. And fornicators. And preachers. Amen? If we're not careful, we lose the fear of God. We'll keep on keeping on just like we're doing. Boy, y'all's quiet. Did you just get quiet all of a sudden, or did I just notice it? Seemed like you just got quiet real quick or something. Amen. Beware of it. He said, but fornication, all uncleanness, or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. It's unbecoming to a saint of God to be covetous. Amen. It's unbecoming for us to be covetous, amen, in any manner. Praise God. Let's look a little further, and I've got to hurry up here, and I'm going to quit in just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 5. Chapter 2 and verse number 5. Now here Paul speaking to them, for neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. Now what did Paul mean by that of covetousness? Paul said, we didn't come to preach to you for your money. We didn't come and minister you because of what you could do for us. We didn't covet what you had. That's what Paul's saying. Amen. That's exactly what he said. We did not covet what you had. Hallelujah. Paul did not let it influence him either. And to the message he preached. Thank God. I'm glad for it today, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad that we still got preachers. We still got people. We still got folks across this land that will not allow covetousness to influence them away from God. Now, there's nothing wrong with desiring something or having something if it's not out of the will of God. But when you go against God, amen, hallelujah, you got a problem. Let's look a little further now at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. That's quite a ways on over. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 3. Listen to what he says. I need to read chapter verse 2 to get the essence of that. And many shall follow their pernicious ways. And the word pernicious there simply means worldly. Worldly. Carnal. Worldly ways. That's what it means. By reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Through covetousness. Let me get back to Hosea here just a minute. Here's a group of people. In verse 3, now here's the setting. Here's what happens. Covetousness has eventually led them into idolatry. Now, here he says in verse 3, therefore they shall be as the morning cloud, and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with a whirlwind out of the floor and as the smoke out of the chimney. Do you know what that means? That means that they will become very shallow Christians and unstable. That's what it says. You read it. What about smoke coming out of the chimney? You know what happens to it? Just whichever way the wind's blowing, that's where the smoke goes, you know. If the pressure's just right, it'll rise a little higher. If it's low pressure, then it'll kind of hover back down towards the ground. Amen. The smoke has no power to go on its own, only as the wind blows. It's unstable. It's unstable. He's talking about instability. Be as the morning cloud. Ain't no rain in it. It's just a little old cloud up there. No purpose for it. It's just there, floating around, and the wind will drive it away. And then as the dew that passeth away, well, as soon as the sun comes up, the dew's going to be dried up and gone. Driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. Now here is the first commandment once again. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and body. Amen. That's the first commandment. He's saying it again here. Thou shalt have no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. You see, the reason we're not filled is we're forgetting God. Amen? When you retain God in your mind and memory and seek after the Lord, amen, you're going to be filled with God. When He is the desire of your heart, amen. When He is the passion and hunger of your soul, you're going to be filled with God. And if you're only going to get dry when that hunger and that desire and that longing for God, amen, leaves you, amen, and the covetousness of this world is gripping you, and you think more of this world than you do of God, and the things of this world more than God. You allow them to push God out of the picture. God don't have time. We don't have time for God anymore. They forgot God, he said. They've forgotten me. Amen. Now here's what happens when this comes to that about. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion. As a leopard by the way will I observe them. Amen. That's what he said. I tell you, I don't want to run into any lions or leopards. Brother, watch you. He told us about those things. You know what he said? Oh, I tell you this, bless me. He said, he's scared of dogs, but he ain't afraid of lions and leopards and stuff. I never did understand that. But he's scared of dogs. But he said, when you hear a lion roar, and you're walking somewhere, you know, they walk everywhere over there. He said, you hear a lion roar. He said, you can just walk on then. He said, because when that lion roars, said all the other things get out of the way. He said, he's not going to hurt you. And said, there won't be nothing else hurt you because they're going to leave. He said, so when I hear a lion roar, said, I'm safe then. Said, I can just whistle and sing, walk on down the road. Now, he's over there where the lions are. Well, what I want to say to you this morning about that is, amen, it's not the roaring lion that'll hurt you. It's the sneaking lion. It's not the wolf in wolf's clothing that will hurt you. It's the wolf in sheep's clothing that'll hurt you. Amen. I gotta pass that on. I could preach 30 minutes there, couldn't I? Amen. I gotta pass on by here because we gotta try to finish up here. Amen. And so he said, I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps. There's not a meaner bear nowhere. I mean, they don't just... Usually a bear will only kill when it's hungry. But if a bear is upset and bereaved of its whelps, it'll kill anything it comes to that's alive. And it'll not only kill them, but it'll maul them and mang them and strip them. Amen. It'll tear them apart.
His mama used to say, I'm going to tear you up from limb to limb. And when she said that, she usually done it too. Somebody said, well, said I'd have run. Boy, you wouldn't have run but once from mama, I'll tell you that right now. I never did run but once. I didn't run after that. Said, I'll meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the caul of their hurt, and there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear it. Somebody said, oh, God. God's a God of love, and He's not going to do anything like that. Why, goodness. Well, I mean, you know, that's the message that's being preached today. But I want you to know, the Bible said, Him whom we have to do, amen, is as a fire. And listen to what He said now. And I'm coming to a close. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. God didn't do this without a cause. God didn't say a lion's going to meet him, a bear's going to tear him. Amen. He didn't bring the king of Israel at this time. Amen. Was in Babylon in captivity, or Syria, one of the countries, in captivity. Their king was. Amen. They had been destroyed. Israel had been taken down. Amen. And God said to him, said, thou hast destroyed thyself. It sounded to me like God destroyed them. But hey, they had destroyed themselves. You see, we're going to reap what we sow. Amen. And what you do, it'll come home to you. Amen. The attitudes and motives you have, amen, they'll come home to you somewhere. It might be 20, 25 years, but somewhere, amen, it's going to come home. God said, thou hast destroyed thyself. You know why? Because that when God blessed them, and they trembled at the word of God, and they walked in fear and reverence before God, then as God blessed them, then things begin to be important. Amen. And so they wanted a king like everybody else's had. Amen. And they wanted to do things their way, and then they begin to copy after the nations around them. And so they wanted an idol too. And the spirit of covetousness got a hold to their hearts, amen, and led them away from God, and God said, thou hast destroyed thyself. And I like the way God does things. God never leaves anybody out on a limb. God never digs a hole and puts somebody in it without supplying a ladder to climb out. God said, in me is thine help. You brought it on yourself. That's what He said here. You brought it on yourself, Israel. All this calamity that's come your way, you brought it on yourself by forgetting God and leaving God out. But, He said, in me is thine help. Hallelujah. So, Psalms 34 and 17 says it this way. Psalms 34 and 17 says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. In Psalm 61 and 2, it says this, for the end of the earth will I cry, or from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. In other words, He's saying from the worst possible position, the farthest from God that I could get, I will cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. What are you saying, Brother Casey? I'm saying to you this morning, and I'm closing with this. Amen. Help. You might start out by saying, help, help, help. But as you begin to get the fear of God back in your heart,
you begin to get the fear of the Lord back in your heart, your voice will rise and you'll say, "Help! Help!" And after a while, you'll see yourself as God sees you in all of your ugliness. And you'll cry out to the top of your voice, "Help, Lord!" Amen? And you'll find the help you need, because when you seek for Him with all your heart, you're going to find Him. When you call upon Him with everything that's within you, you're going to find help in the Lord. There's help for everybody. There's help for anybody. There's help for all people. Amen? If they just cry unto God. Bartimaeus heard that He was coming by, and Bartimaeus cried out, "Amen, Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." There wasn't nobody could stop Bartimaeus from crying. Amen, the more they tried to stop him, Brother Law, the louder and harder he cried. Amen, because he was blind and he needed help. This morning, I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your need is. I don't care what your situation is. Amen, God's got the help you need if you cry. Would you stand with us this morning? Our Father in heaven, will you touch our hearts together? Would you move upon our souls? God, would you deal with individuals? Lord, you know whatever need is that's here. I don't know, Lord, but you do. God, I'm asking you to move with your Spirit in the heart of every individual. And Lord, we're going to spend just a little time this morning in these altars, those that want to, and we're going to wait upon you this morning, and we're going to call upon you for help. Oh God, for you are our help. You're a mighty tower, a strong tower, and the righteous flee. Oh God, we're looking to you this morning, for you're the help of our life. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Here's what I'd like for you to do this morning. If you have to leave, you can feel free to go. It's all right, no problem at all. But if you just feel like you'd like to come and pray this morning just a little bit and just look up to God and say, "God, help. Help me. Help me." Amen. It doesn't make any difference what your situation is. It might be to the ends of the earth. It might look so hopeless and helpless that you just feels in your own heart that there's just not any help. But I'm telling you this morning, if you'll cry out to God, there's help. Would you come with me, gather into these altars, and let's pray for a little bit. If you feel you need to go, you can feel free. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Lord, we